Welcome. Glad to be worshiping together with you. What a great day to be worshiping God's family together in God's house. It's always a good day to be worshiping God, but especially good to be worshiping with God's family and his brother, our brothers and sisters together. Pastor Keith is away this week. He's at a he's preaching at a weekend conference for another church, and we're always thankful for what Pastor Keith, how he blesses us week in, week out. And continue to pray for him as well and support him and Cece and Audrey, as they're such a blessing to us in our church. As some of you know, I'm on the church's mission board. And this year we are celebrating and we're going to be having our 31st annual PG Missions Conference. 31 years, which is a remarkable achievement and something to praise God for and be thankful for. Our speaker is going to be Reverend Don Gardner, who's lead pastor over at VCBC and has had experience overseas as well as ministering here in Canada. So you won't want to miss it. Our theme for this year is missions, making it personal. So I thought this morning I would just spend a few minutes to give a little bit of an introduction to that and hopefully to give you a bit of a preview and or to encourage you to think about our missions conference that is coming later this year in the fall. I only want to cover 2 points. The 2 points are that missions, God made it personal. God made it personal, and The good news is personal to you. Is this going to work for me? One of you guys will have to come up here and give me a hand with it. Can you? Javier, can you give me a hand with that? While Javier's coming up. So 2 points. That God made it personal, and that the good news is personal to you. In other words, 2 things. Number one, missions, why it matters to God, and 2, missions, why it matters to you. And we're going to take a quick look at some scripture. We're going to go to the beginning of the Bible, and we're going to go to the end of the Bible, and we're going to take a look at some scripture, and then we're going to cycle through that. And when Pastor Keith comes back next week, I want you to tell him that we went from the beginning and the end of the Bible in 30 minutes, and you guys are fast learners, and boy, that was a good speaker. No, I'm just kidding. Before we read through God's Word, I want to talk about roller coasters for a moment. So how many of you guys have been on a roller coaster? Put your hand up. Roller coasters. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. I've been on a few. Some of you guys might recognize this one. Who knows what this one is? The big wood roller coaster at the P&E, yep. Anybody recognize this one? I was on this one in West Edmonton Mall. It does 360 loops. It's crazy. West Edmonton Mall, if you've ever been there. And then this one. Look at how small those people are, and look how big that roller coaster is. That's called the Colossus. The Colossus is down at Six Flags Magic Mountain in California. I was on that when I was young, a long time ago, and it's crazy. It sits on 10 acres of land. It's like 4,000 meters of track or something like that. It has like several huge drops, and it hits a top speed of 100 kilometers an hour. Is that crazy or what? It is. So when you're on a roller coaster, there's a bunch of laws that are at work, the laws of physics. And some of you guys, students especially, I'm gonna pick on you because I'm going to ask you some questions. The laws of physics are at work. What kind of laws are at work? The laws of gravity, acceleration, deceleration, centrifugal force. Any of you guys know that one? Centrifugal force. There's a lot of stuff happening on when you're riding a roller coaster. And, you know, it would be very, very wise to be aware of those forces that are at work around you. So what if I were to say to you, and this is the Colossus after they renovated it. They made some changes to it. That Colossus, by the way, was one of the world's largest wooden roller coasters from the time it was built in 1978 till like the 2000-something when it had a little fire. But anyways, so they rebuilt it. So what if you're on this roller coaster and you decide that you are not going to believe in the laws of physics? And in fact, you're going to ignore the laws of physics. What if Phil was on here and I said, you know what, okay, I can't even spell centrifugal force, let alone explain physics to you, so I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to get on this ride and I'm not going to put my seatbelt on and I'm not going to put my safety bar down. I don't know if I could ever get on that in my age now, but I think you would agree, if you did that, this would end very badly for Phil. It would end very badly. I could say I don't believe it, I could say I ignore it, but it would end badly. I think Phil would go flying out and it would be bye-bye, Phil. So the reason I raise this is that before we read God's word, I want to invite you and to encourage you to focus on what God is telling us so that we can think about what is actually happening in God's world according to God's word and according to God's laws and according to God's promises and his blessings, so that you can be aware of what's happening in the world around you. And we're going to start with the book of Genesis, at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Would you read that with me out loud? The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Would you bow with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, you are Lord. Thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we're here to worship you, Father God. It's not about us, it's about you. May your will be done here and now. We pray that your name be honored and glorified. May we be open to your voice and to your spirit. And we ask right now that you speak to us individually, move in us powerfully. Would you grant me, Lord God, the words to say, the wisdom that you would like to share this morning? And may it not be wise nor persuasive words, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you see, as we focus on God's word, a lot of times we think God is all mysterious. God's really mysterious, and there's just so much that we don't know. But the reality is that sometimes I think it's more a question of us not looking into God's word and seeking God's wisdom than it is about him being so mysterious. And so we're going to look into the Bible, and we're going to look at the beginning, and we're going to see where he starts here, and then we're going to look at where he ends in the Bible. So missions, why it matters to God. First of all, God's plan. From the very beginning, God planned for you and I to be part of community. God planned family long before you and I were born. God's plan is explained and shown in the very first book of the first chapter of the Bible. When God says in Genesis 1, he says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground.'" God was in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And he said his plan is to create man, you and me, so that we are part of his family, to be in community, to be in relationship with God for all eternity. That is part of your purpose. That is part of why God created you and me. The problem is man's sin. Because God loves us so much, he gave us, of course, free will. God gave us the choice to love him and to obey him or to not obey him. He didn't force us to love him, which he could have, but that would be kind of a sort of false sort of love. He gave us this choice. He gave us this free will, and man chose. And we know that man chose badly. Man chose sin. Man chose his own way out of pride. And so man broke that relationship we had with our holy and perfectly just Father and God in heaven. We brought a death penalty on ourselves and judgment on ourselves because of our own sin. And that became a problem. Romans 3 says, "For everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. And the problem is that for the wages of sin is death." There's a consequence to our sin. There's a punishment, there's a penalty to our sin. And that is death. That leads us to God's mission. God loves us, and from the very first book of the Bible, God reveals his plan. He reveals his mission through his promise to Abraham. And as we just read, he said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your people and from your father's household to a land I'll show you." And God's love is, and his plan is, to make Abraham and us into a great nation, to bless us, and so that all peoples on earth will be blessed through us. From the beginning of the Bible, God is on mission. He's on mission to redeem us, to bring us back into his family, into relationship with him for all eternity. And the Bible tells this story of God pursuing us. And we are living out that story. God promised 4,000 years ago, God made this promise to Abraham so that all the peoples on earth will be blessed through him. And God is saying that he's blessing you and me, not for our own pleasure, not for our own sake and goodness and for our own blessing, but he is specifically blessing us so that we will be a blessing to others. And so that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God is pretty clear. He reveals himself. He reveals his plan. He reveals what he's doing and how it's all panning out. Our blessing comes through Jesus Christ. And so we know that God sent his Son. God knew that we would not make it on our own because of our sin, because of that penalty. And because God loved us so much, he gave us Jesus. He sent Jesus down to take our place. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No matter how hard we try to live a good life, it'll never be good enough to be holy and perfect. That will get us an entrance into eternity, into a perfect heaven with a perfect God. Jesus came. Jesus was perfect and sinless. He didn't deserve our punishment. He didn't deserve any punishment, but he took your bullet and he took my bullet. He took our place so that our sins could be forgiven and that so that we could be set free. I had a conversation, a very strange conversation with somebody in Florida a number of years ago. It's kind of odd, so just bear with me. We had this conversation and this person was saying to me, he said, "Hey, Phil, you know what? If this boat sinks, we're on this boat, you know, you, me, my wife, and this boat goes down." He says, "And I can only save one person. Sorry, but it was really nice knowing you." What? He said, "If I can only save one person, you know what? I'm saving my wife. And if I have to choose between my wife and you, it's like, well, hey, I mean, you're a nice guy and all, but too bad, so sad." This is a strange conversation. And then he proceeded to say, "Well, and you know, if I was, the boat was going down, and you know, it was me, my wife, and my sister, and I could only save one person, as difficult as that would be, I mean, you, it's easier. But as difficult as it would be, I would have to choose my wife over my sister. I was like, started to think, well, okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. I think that's what, given the choice, I would do. And so it was a strange conversation. And I hope you and I never have to be in that situation where we have to choose between saving one and or giving up somebody else. But you know, God made that choice. God made that choice. He knew that we were lost. We were dead in our sin. And the only way that he could save you and save me is to sacrifice Jesus, his son. And so Jesus took that bullet for you and for me because of how much he loves us and because this is part of his plan to bring us back into eternity and into a relationship with our Father. How does it end? How many of you love to know the ending of a good movie before you see it? You know, before you saw Star Wars, you already knew the ending. My kids went to see Finding Dory this weekend, you know. They already told me the ending. God actually, we're going to go to the book of Revelations. Like I said, we're going from the beginning, we're going right through to the end, and we're going to the book of Revelations because we are going to see how it ends. And it ends this way. God reveals to us through John. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand. That's how it ends. What a sight. How amazing that will be when at the end there's this uncountable multitude of people, God's children gathered from every nation, from every tribe, from every language, every people group, standing before him, the throne of God in heaven, worshiping and glorifying our Father, our God in heaven. A place where there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more tears, but an eternity of unimaginable, undescribable joy with our God and our Father in heaven. The Bible tells of the story of our God who is personally on mission to redeem his people and to bring us into this family, into this ending, into this relationship with him. And he's pursuing you and me and his people. And the Bible tells of this story and of this drama. And we are living out this story and this drama. And this is where it ends. Do you want to know when it ends? Although the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour when Christ is coming back, the Bible, God does reveal to us something about when it's going to end. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. If you want to know when the end is coming, God in the book of Matthew tells you. When the good news is preached throughout the whole world so that all nations and all peoples have heard it, then the end will come. That's our mission. That's the mission that God is on. To take that message, the good news, throughout all the world to all the people. It ends after God's purpose, his plan, and his promise is fulfilled. When his mission is complete and this good news is preached, it ends. So God reveals to us what he's doing, blessing all the people. blessing you and me so that we can be a blessing. He reveals where he's doing it. He's doing it through all the nations and all the peoples in the world. He's telling us when it's going to end. And here's a point about the why. The why is about God's glory. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. You see, it's all for his glory. All of creation was made and intended for his glory, to worship our God. We are a self-absorbed people. Would you agree? We are consumed by our life, our career, our work, our studies, our exams, our finances, our families, our enjoyment, and our personal goals. We are a self-absorbed people. I love the opening sentence of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. He says, it's not about you. It's not about you. You see, our purpose and our meaning comes from our Creator. Purpose and meaning isn't defined by the creation. The creation or the invention has its purpose and its meaning and its design from the inventor, the Creator. And a lot of times we are trying to find our own meaning, find our own path, determine what makes sense to us, instead of thinking about, well, actually, our purpose and our meaning comes, and our significance comes from God, our Creator. And God says it's all about his glory. It's about worshiping him. You and I were born, were created, were designed for God's purpose and for his glory. And to be with God. And when we are all with our Father in heaven who loves us, people from all nations, and glorifying God, that is God's plan. That is God's purpose. So you see, missions matters to God. Missions matters to God. But it's actually only the second greatest activity in this world. Missions is only the second greatest activity because worshiping God is the first. And that's the why. That's the why of missions. John Piper describes it this way. He says, missions exists because worship doesn't. All the peoples in this earth, all the people groups and the nations and the tribes are not there at the point of worship. And so we have missions. John Piper says this, God created all things through him, and all things were created for him. All that came into being exists for Christ. That is, it exists to display the greatness of Christ. Nothing in this universe exists for its own sake. Everything from the bottom of the ocean to the top of the mountains, from the smallest particle to the biggest star, from the most boring school subject to the most fascinating science, from the ugliest cockroach to the most beautiful human. Everything that exists, exists to make the greatness of Christ more fully known, and that includes you and me. It's for God's glory. I'm going to ask the guys to run the video, and I have a short clip that I'd like you to watch.
He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings.
That's our King and that's our God. Missions, why it matters. Because it matters to God. The second point that I want to go through is missions, why it matters to you. But I have a confession to make. There's really only one point. Because point number two is see above. Why it matters to God. If it matters to God, it should matter to you and should matter to me. God loves his people. God loves his people, and it breaks his heart that his children are lost. I don't know if any of you recognize this picture. It was in the news about a month ago. This is a 7-year-old boy. His name is Yamato Tanuka. In northern Japan, he went missing because of some bad decisions by his father. This is a contrast between how we as humans fail compared to how our Heavenly Father is perfect in his love. The human father left 7-year-old Yamato at the base of a mountainous forest area, and he disappeared. He disappeared into the forest, and this particular area is known for bears. And a number of years ago, bears had mauled. There were two incidences where bears mauled people. And then on an adjacent region in this northern Japan, they attacked another man. And 7-year-old Yamato was lost. People started looking for him. Every day they started looking for him. They couldn't find him. Every day that passed was a slim and decreasing hope that Yamato would ever be found. After about 6 days, I started to think, is he ever going to be found alive? Will he be reunited with his father? And as a father myself, it broke my heart to be thinking about how this could happen. Good news is for Yamamoto, on the sixth day he was found. He was found in an abandoned or an unlocked army training hut in the middle of the forest that the army people had forgotten to lock. He found his way in, and there he was dehydrated, but he survived for 6 days. Good news, he was found alive. Made me think, it reminded me how our Father in heaven feels because of his children who are lost and separated from him. There was tremendous rejoicing in Japan, I'm sure rejoicing all over the world for Yamamoto. And God and the multitude of angels in heaven rejoice when his lost children come to know Christ. You've been blessed. I've been blessed. And sometimes I wonder if we don't take missions personally, it's because we don't grasp the full blessing of the good news. Do we get more excited about the good news of getting a new iPhone? Or do you get more excited about the good news of getting a promotion at work or a project that goes well? Or do you get more excited about getting a great mark on your exam in school? Or your favorite soccer team winning the last game? They may be all good things, but there's no comparison to the good news of Jesus Christ. Without Christ, I'm a sinner on a downward path to an eternity separated from the love of my Father, an eternity outside of heaven. Without Christ, I'm going to be exhausted, trying hopelessly to earn my way into heaven by living a good life, but never achieving it, that perfect and holy life to get there. Without Christ, the flawed and sinful person I see in the mirror every day will continue to live in the world of past sin and failures. Without Christ, I struggle to find peace and hope in a broken, hurting, and often dark world. Without Christ, I look for my destiny and purpose from a shifting and unreliable, changing culture and value. Without Christ, I will seek but never find fulfillment, happiness, from pursuing material possessions, temporary achievements, and worldly pleasures. But because of God's love and because of his mission, with Christ I am forgiven for all my sins. With Christ I have Jesus' perfect righteousness to reconcile me with God my Father. I have the assurance of eternal life with God in heaven. I have a peace that passes all understanding, peace that this world cannot give. With Christ, I know the unfailing love of my Father and his comfort with me and his presence with me through all my journeys. I have a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light, and with Christ, I have clarity about my purpose and meaning for my life, that I belong in God's family and I know where it ends. It is an assurance for the past. It is strength and joy for today and bright hope and a promise for tomorrow. I have been immeasurably blessed. You have been immeasurably blessed. Jesus says, now go and bless others. Bless others in Vancouver. Bless others in BC. Bless others in Canada and to all the ends of the world. Go and bless other people. It's your move. Would you bow with me as we pray?